Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So in that series, they said it's the most exciting MMA fight in history. Really? All right. All the champions and favorites always lose. So either a lot of people are really, really good, or nobody's good. I mean, when's the last defending champion in MMA to win? Am I wrong on this, Sean? Or?
Well, if you back me into a corner and say, hey, can you list every person in mixed martial arts that's holding a belt? I mean, I couldn't answer that question. But yeah, I mean, the main household names. Yeah.
They all lose.
or they get popped on a drug test.
I was walking. I was at the Big Ten tournament. I'm walking in the Center Circle Mall across from the hotel. And we went by a video store. And the video store on the front cover, UFC, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it's McGregor and Rousey. And they just lost. I'm like, yeah, this is a hot seller. This will be terrific. That's just great. Let's see. A lot going on in the show today. We'll have Jim Delaney's press conference for you today. We have that. Corey Geiger, his take on Big Ten Media Day from the Altoona Mirror. Also on the show today, Neil Coulong, talking about the Steelers and their training camp getting underway. We'll have an off day tomorrow. Adam Amin from ESPN on Thursday, along with Paul Alexander. Got that coming up. And John Oran looks like next week, huh?
Fingers crossed. Yeah, we're looking to try to get him sometime this week, but he's got some vacay he's going to use. So, yes, we want to try to finally lock him in before we take our little vacation, too, in a few weeks.
Good.
Yep. Not given.
Well, nah, I think he's surprised. I thought I ditched these guys. They won't back off. They won't back off.
I'm getting persistent in this role.
I don't understand this. One thing that was interesting today, and we'll hear Jim Delaney talk about this during his press conference coming up, and that is about the Rose Bowl and the college football playoff. It did come up. And when it did come up, he said, let's face it, the Big Ten is linked arm in arm with the Rose Bowl. And he was asked about the college football playoff taking place on New Year's Eve, which I thought was a bad idea to begin with. People already have their... Look, something we've discovered over the years, there are certain things that we have seen people that run organizations try to ram down the public's throat. I'm telling you, you're going to like it, and you're going to like it the way we present it and where we put it. You're going to. We're telling you, you're going to like it. And shockingly, 9 times out of 10, the public likes what it likes and doesn't give a darn what you think we're supposed to like. I'd say 9 times out of 10 that happens. Now, I'm not going to get into specifics here because some of the examples, people go, but I'm not going to do that. But the college football playoff happens to be one of them. We're going to play it on New Year's Eve, and we're going to create a new tradition, and you're going to like it. And that is not what happened this year. What happened this year was that the college football playoff was played on New Year's Eve. There was a 40% reduction in ratings, which was not a surprise. And it didn't pan out. And people know that there's a certain tradition as to the way Americans live. And one of them happens to be it's New Year's Eve, and people like to get together, go out, maybe a first night someplace, maybe just a New Year's Eve party someplace else. Everybody sits around about 11:30 or so, 11 o'clock at night, and they want to watch the ball come down at midnight and the whole deal, and everybody hoists a drink. Sean, of course, has the lampshade on his head. The suit's trying to make some sort of deal with the internet, and yeah. Got to figure out a way for the suit to have fun. You know? Is that possible?
We'll work on that. Got to be a way. It's got to be.
I mean, the suit, it's not fun. But people have their traditions. And one of them on that night is that, yeah, you might have a college football game on in the background, but it's another one of the 38 bowl games being played. Last year, of course, they played the semifinal games. So I was thinking about this. Always a dangerous proposition. But as I was thinking about it, something that came to my mind is, especially when Jim Delaney said earlier today, I want to keep the Rose Bowl, and he said there's no desire to move the Rose Bowl, and nor should there be a desire to move the Rose Bowl. It's not called the granddaddy of them all for a reason. And one of the reasons it is, as popular as it is, because of the tradition of it. It is the tradition of a game at 5 o'clock on New Year's Day. You already have a day that college football traditionally owns, and that's New Year's Day. Or in this particular year, January 2nd. And it is acceptable for fans. And fans have accepted over the years that the NFL will play on Sunday and that January 2nd will be the day for college football. It's a day off for everybody anyway. It's fine. So you already have that. And people love watching the Rose Bowl. The ratings for the Rose Bowl are always great. I mean, always. Not just sort of, but always. And my proposal would be this. Now, it does not come into play in 2017 because the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl are the semifinal games. But starting in 2018, keep the Rose Bowl at 5 o'clock. I would play the one semifinal game at 1:30. Leading into the Rose Bowl. And then I play the second semifinal at 8:30 following the Rose Bowl. And I think in those three games, you've got a mega New Year's Day that I think a lot of fans would enjoy watching and being a part of. Two games with stakes plus a game that is so aesthetically pleasing. The San Gabriel Mountains, the Tournament of Roses parade in the morning, the beautiful green grass, the sunshine that 9 times out of 10 you see at the Rose Bowl, which then in the second half descends into an evening game. And I think you'd have yourself a great day of college football to showcase the sport. Now, what do you do with the Outback Bowl and the Citrus Bowl? I mean, one of them I think would have to move. I wouldn't mind if one of them was 11 o'clock in the morning just to be a game, to have a game on. But after that, make the day about big games and keep the Rose Bowl where it is because, guess what? People like having the Rose Bowl at 5 o'clock on New Year's Day. That's what I'd do.
Well, you would think other sporting groups and organizations would try to maybe I don't want to say outfox the NFL, but you know, the NFL, they want to be in the spotlight. They want to be front page pretty much every day out of the year, as many as they can possibly get. If there's one outside of a national championship game, why not New Year's Day, where pretty much in the spotlight is nothing but college football? That'd be a no-brainer. That's a slam dunk.
I mean, to me, you already own the day. I mean, you already have the tradition of the day. Already have it.
Three games, boom, boom, boom. That keeps me locked in for 10-plus hours. You don't have to ask me twice. I'd love that.
Right. If you already have a day that already traditionally is yours, use it. That's what I would do. I know there's been a lot of consternation about, you know, the Rose Bowl's not going to move and blah, blah. Well, guess what? I mean, who says the Rose Bowl has to move? I think you use it as a centerpiece for the day. You use it as an opportunity. You know, over the years, think of it this way. What did NBC always try to do following Seinfeld? They put another show in that they were really trying to promote. Seinfeld was a great lead-in. How many years the TV show Cheers was on Thursday night, and they try to get a second show right after, like Wings or something like that, because it's a great lead-in. Rose Bowl's a great lead-in for what you want to do for your evening game. And also, you're anticipating the Rose Bowl. You're going to get some people watching the second half of the other playoff game with the Rose Bowl coming up. That's something, I mean, I'd consider. Because this idea that they're going to make you change. Okay. Is. I don't know. The idea that you're going to change, I don't think so. I think that's very short-sighted in their part, thinking that they can make you change your pattern of life to do it. That's just me. And there's so many things that they've tried to force down the public's throat. Hey, you're going to love this because we're telling you you love it. No, not really. No. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors.
There's only one. Only one auto dealer selling cars at $101 under invoice. And offering you 0% financing for up to 66 months. It's Sunbury Motors Kia. Want to see you in a Kia.
SMC hit their initial limit for this deal, but they're extending this offer through the end of the month. All remaining 2016 Kias are still priced at $101 under invoice. That's all applicable factory incentives, but only to Kia buyers through the end of the month. But that's not all. There's also 0% financing available for up to 66 months. Have a trade? They'll pay you top dollar for that as well. Plus, you get Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty.
What are you going to do with all the money you're saving?
Now is the time to buy the number one brand for initial quality in J.D. Powers and Associates initial quality study. Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Captain Tag Veteran. 0% APR financing to well-qualified customers from KMF. Restrictions apply. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. Details at retailer.com.
It was just a topic that came up today. Big Ten Media Day. We'll hear from Jim Delaney coming up in the next half hour. Press conference today. Corey Geiger a little bit later in the show as well. And Neil Kulong, you can't have enough football talk. it's interesting. Remember the, I think I brought it up last week, and that was the subject of the lack of coverage of women's sports that's been brought up. And Dan Shaughnessy, who just received the J.G. Taylor Spink Award from the Baseball Hall of Fame. Spink, of course, the founder of the Sporting News, which was for years, decades, important in so much baseball coverage across the country. And Dan Shaughnessy said, hey, look, I know what my audience is. I know what my audience is. All right? And he said, it doesn't fit. Well, it's part of what you have to do. You have to know your audience. We have had female athletes on the show. We have had women's sports coaches on the show and so forth. But there are certain things that if we want to sit here and we want to talk football, or if we want to talk basketball, or if we want to have a wrestling guest on, boom, immediately it just kicks right in. You know, it is what people, it's not a question of what they're used to. It's just what people, they tell you by response what they like. Sometimes it really is that simple. So Neil Coulon will be on because we can talk about football anytime. And people say, hey, yeah, they're going to camp this week. What's going on? What do you think? Penn State football. Yeah, they just had media day there. I heard Franklin on the show yesterday. Yeah. Yeah, he likes the running backs, likes the wideouts. Yeah, thinks the offense is going to be better. You know, concerned about the defensive line. All right. More competition at kicking. I mean, that, you know, these are little things. You know, we aired the press conference with him yesterday from Chicago because it's that time. People want to hear what he has to say. Media Day is going to be a week from Thursday, August 4th. Then they head right into training camp after that. And we've got our big get-together on August 22nd. I'm coming over to a great new place, too, that we're going to be at. And that'll be a lot of, and again, we'll talk football that night. I mean, the suit might even show up.
Oh, he'll be there. Absolutely.
Yeah, Tom's got a great new place, doesn't he?
The newly renovated Penn's Tavern. Actually, it's been a fixture in Northumberland County for decades. And the Mertz family became owners of the restaurant and the building. A little less than a year ago, did some great renovations in a short period of time, and so far the early reviews have been phenomenal.
And we're going to be doing the show there that day.
Yeah, we'll be out on the deck, Lord willing.
I love it.
You could boat right up to the restaurant. How cool is that? People do that.
Are we renting a boat?
You'll be the first to know. You can get the suit on that.
So, in other words, we're not renting a boat.
At this point, no. Last I checked, I don't think there's a direct waterway from the Sunbury Motor Studio right down to south of Sunbury. So,
no, you said we were going to put the suit on it. My assumption is it wasn't going to happen. Jim Delaney, next half hour. Interesting responses today and newsworthy responses from him at the Big Ten Media Day. Later, Corey Geiger. And then we'll have Neil Coulong to talk about the Steelers.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Jim Delaney in just a few moments here. His press conference today. First of all, this day in sports history. The first intercollegiate regatta was held on this date in Worcester, Massachusetts between Harvard, Yale, and Brown. Harvard won Harvard-Yale regatta has continued to this day. Sometimes rowing on the Charles River, sometimes on the Thames River, not the Thames, but the Thames River in Connecticut. 1928. Gene Tunney beat Tom Heaney by a technical knockout, 11th round in Yankee Stadium, to retain his World Boxing Heavyweight Championship. 1948, Babe Ruth was seen in public for the final time in his life when he attended the New York City premiere of the motion picture The Babe Ruth Story. Miguel Indurain in 1992 of Spain won his second straight Tour de France. No word on whether or not he did it legally. Is anybody in that sport legal? Just wondering. Let's see. 1996, American swimmer Amy Van Dyken won the 50-meter freestyle to become the first to become Atlanta's first quadruple gold medalist and the first U.S. woman to win four gold medals in a single Olympics. And in 2004, the Arizona Diamondbacks ended their club record losing streak of 14 in a row. I'm telling you, Sean, that's not good. All right, yesterday, James Franklin, we heard from him in Chicago. I think it's always important to at least get a general read on what's going on with the Big Ten and also how the conference feels on certain issues with Commissioner Jim Delaney in his press conference.
Yep. Kevin Trahan with Vice Sports. The NFL announced that they're going to look into penalizing teams that don't follow concussion protocol. Could you ever see the NCAA having a college sports-wide concussion protocol where they actually punish teams for not following that protocol? And why haven't we seen that yet?
You know, that's a great question from Mark Emmert, I would say, number one. Number two, we work closely with our doctors and trainers, and we have expectations that they will follow the concussion management plan that we have. We have three university presidents who are neuroscientists, the presidents at Ohio State, Michigan, and Rutgers are all neuroscientists, and I can assure you that not only at those institutions, but the conversations they've had with our presidents, there's an incredible emphasis on following those concussion management plans, and they'll be monitored on a week-to-week basis. And in part, that's why we have an independent spotter program to coordinate with them and make sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure that the experience is as safe as it can be.
Commissioner, next question is on our left down front.
Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports.
Hey, Dennis.
Hi, Jim. Hi. What are the relative advantages and disadvantages of having a six-year media rights deal, and do you intend on being around to renegotiate that?
No, and yes. Yeah. No to the second one. I have a lot of energy, and I have a lot of interest in what's going on in the college space today from the operational issues, reform issues, and the existential threat. So I will be around for a bit. Whether I'm around here for 6 years is probably a little bit beyond how I see it. In terms of the six-year period, that's really where the market was for us. Were there entities would go longer, fine, but it's really a balance between security and the dollars that can be generated in the short term. So we've done 20-year deals and a joint venture. We've done 10-year deals. But in this case, we thought six provided us some midterm security and the opportunity, and we have the confidence in what we have to be out there again. Things are changing, as you know, and they'll continue to change. But we thought 6 years for us was the right place to be.
Take our next question over under the lights to our right.
Yeah, Jim, Andy Seligman, AP. How do you feel about the possibility of moving future semifinal games off New Year's Eve? And would you be willing to move the Rose Bowl to accommodate a semifinal playoff game?
Yeah, we've had those discussions, and they've been constructive, and I think we're all realistic in terms of the impact that New Year's has had on the semifinals, especially in the previous year. With regard to the Rose Bowl, I think there may be some movement for other bowls, but I don't foresee change in how the Rose Bowl is sequenced in to the college football playoff. So the answer is I realize the challenge. I think there may be changes in the offing, but I wouldn't expect those changes to impact the Rose Bowl.
Next question to the far left of the room for us.
Jim, Nicole Auerbach, USA Today. The Pac-12 and the SEC have those transfer bans for serious misconduct issues. Do you foresee the Big Ten ever adopting that? Are there discussions about that sort of rule?
Yep. You know, we have had discussions on that. You know, ever is quite a long time. But I would tell you that as we've looked at it and we've talked to our athletic directors, our faculty, our presidents, we've had outside legal counsel, as well as experts on the Clery Act and Title IX. And we believe that, you know, the facts and circumstances closest to the ground are the places that those decisions ought to be made. I think just as you've seen these policies executed, and in some cases they work, in some cases they fail to work. So we've got a lot of confidence in the commitment by our institutions, totally committed to reducing and if not eliminating violence, sexual violence in every way. And so we will continue to have those discussions, but we have made the decision that based on the facts and circumstances being local, that's the best place for these decisions to be worked out.
We'll come over here on the aisle down the center.
Yeah.
Jim, Ryan Dunleavy from NJ.com. There have been some reports out there of new numbers for the Big Ten TV deal. Are those numbers accurate? And regardless of what they end up being, is there any room for negotiating the payouts to Rutgers and Maryland and Nebraska, other integrated members, or are those contracts set in stone no matter what the numbers end up being before 2021?
Yeah, you know, we as you know, it's the policy of the Big Ten not to confirm media numbers. There's always speculation. People always leak. Sometimes they're really accurate, sometimes they're high, and sometimes they're low. What we do is what we need to do by law. We conform to the requirements to file the 990. Steve Berkowitz does his annual take for all of us to give us a good insight into what's going on in different conferences, and we'll do that. In terms of the financial integration, of course, there's the academic, there's the competitive, and there's the financial. And those deals were agreed upon at the time. They're all a little bit different. Everybody was kept whole from where they came. And then when there's full financial integration, they will all be full financial members. And that's an equal number of years for each of them. It's a six-year process. But the deals that were all negotiated on the basis of keep us whole, keep you whole. And after 6 years of being a member of the Big Ten, you will then become a full financial member.
Time for one more question. We'll go over here in the middle on the left.
Jim, Doug LaMaurice from Cleveland.com. This is just one measure, but in the 2016 recruiting rankings, the East had the four top recruiting classes. In 2017, five of the top six recruiting classes are East Division teams. What is your belief in that you have the correct division alignment right now, East and West, in terms of competitive balance, and what could ever lead to rethinking that?
Yeah, as you know, as we move from 11 to 12 and then 12 to 14, we've taken two different routes. The first route was what I would call competitive-based, not as geographic-based, but we didn't quite have the spread. The most recent change when we went to 14 was geographic. I think we were cognizant on the first go-round of almost having a draft. The top four split them up, the next four split them up, and so on. In this one, it was pure geography if you draw a line, and that was a decision that was discussed, debated, and decided. And so I don't expect that to change in the short term. Could it change? The word ever is a long word, and could it ever change? I guess there could be a discussion, but there is no present discussion to make that change.
That is Commissioner Jim Delaney at his press conference today. Covered a lot of ground. We'll come back and talk about it and discuss what he said today at the media conference in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sun Murray Motors.
Lincoln Motor Company invites you to discover how exhilarating 400 horsepower can give you serenity. To experience how an available 360-degree camera can change your perspective. And to see how Auto Hold can relax you a little more behind the wheel in stop-and-go traffic. Because we just don't think about what a car can do, but rather what it can do for you. We call it the more human side of engineering. Discover what a Lincoln can do for you. The Lincoln Summer Invitation Sales Event is on, where you'll find exceptional offers on the Lincoln family of luxury vehicles. The Lincoln MKX, the Lincoln Small Utility MKC, the iconic Navigator, and the 2017 Lincoln MKZ. The Lincoln Summer Invitation. Make a summer memory today. Visit Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or visit them at sunburylincoln.com.
Headed toward 10 before the hour. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Jim Delaney's press conference. There was plenty of news in there. We'll scratch it out for you here as we go through the next few minutes. Just want to remind you, Corey Geiger's on the show in the next half hour. We'll talk about Big Ten Media Day. And Neil Coulong will join us in the final half hour to talk about the Steelers. Off day tomorrow, Adam Amin from ESPN is going to join us Thursday. Paul Alexander from Pittsburgh will join us Thursday as well. Friday, let's see, I think Friday we're going to get Adam Rittenberg on the show, along with Tony DeFazio. So it's another week short on guests, and we apologize. We'll try and fill all the gaps.
Gotta stop mailing it in, man.
Okay, so that's what we have coming up. I mean, again, this is July. Yeah, it's July. Let's see. Let's take the slivers of news out of there. Number one, let's start with concussion protocol. Concussion protocol is extremely important. Everybody, right now, this is something where the courts are involved. As you know, there have been a series of lawsuits put out there. And in every lawsuit, the NCAA is named, every one of them. And in every lawsuit, the conference that they played in is named. Once in a while, the name of the school is in there. It depends on the state law as to whether or not they're in there or not. Now, remember the initial story, three Penn State. Well, now there's zero. They all withdrew. All right. You notice that story didn't come out. It's a weird world we live in. But concussion protocol is something that the NFL currently has. And other pro sports have done it as well. Concussion protocol. Certain schools do have it. For example, Northwestern does travel a doctor to games and is an observer in this regard. The Big Ten is looking into all of this. I think with the new TV contract, there is money available to have someone that would be an observer in each stadium. So the maximum you would have each week to have on call would be 7 of them for concussion protocol that would have the power. And I think the conference should pay for it. I think in non-conference games, since there are only 3, then the school should pay for it in non-conference games. But it's something that's important. Now, he says, you know, look, they're not quite there yet, but there's certainly discussion. But I think the way things have gone, concussion protocol, I think, has now become acceptable to fans out there on a pro level. You know, they may not like it when X defensive back has to leave the game for concussion protocol, but I think everybody understands the reasons why now. And
I think the same thing has to happen on the college level. He did talk about that today. The TV contract. That 6 years was the right number of years to do it at this particular time. Because that is what the landscape yielded at this time. He didn't talk about numbers, but evidently the numbers, as we know, and we have outlined from day one on this show, are the largest numbers ever seen in college sports. Between Fox, Fox Sports 1, ESPN, and basketball on CBS, and the Big Ten Network. It is a deal that does not kick into gear until a year from now. Which brings us to the next part he talked about. He was asked by the reporter from Rutgers about Rutgers and Maryland being integrated into this TV contract earlier. And Jim Delaney made a point, and he's spot on when he says this. There is a 6 year integration period. Now, you're not at zero every year. In other words, you go up every year. You know, you get more the next year, the more the year after, the more the year after, and finally in the sixth year, you get a full share. Well, Nebraska is going into its final year of not getting a full share. In fact, in the new TV contract that starts in 17-18 will be the first year Nebraska gets a full share. So they will get a full share when the new TV contract comes out. So they're fine. Which then brings us to Rutgers and Maryland. Well, Rutgers and Maryland will not get full shares of the TV agreement until their sixth year, which will be the fourth year of the contract. So in year four of the contract, the final half of it, they'll be full integrated members in this TV contract. And as he pointed out, that's the agreement that was signed by everybody going in. It's what Nebraska signed when they came in 11. It is what Maryland and Rutgers signed when they came in 14. And that's the way it is. Those are the agreements in place. That integration where you go from level A to level B to level C to level D, E, F, and finally full integration. And he made that point today. He does not expect to be the commissioner when the new TV deal, he does not expect to be the commissioner when the next round of negotiations comes up. That was asked by Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports. He's 68 years old. It makes sense that this is probably the last deal he'll do unless he's going along and feels so great that he keeps on going. I mean, he's done this job. I mean, look, he's the only commissioner of the Big Ten that Penn State's ever had. I mean, think about that. Penn State is not, you know, Penn State's been in the conference now, officially now, for over 26 years. He's the only guy. So he's done the job for a long time. He's 68 now. And he doesn't expect to be the commissioner when they do the next round.
So is this really the first time that he was hinting that the end of his tenure is getting closer? That also brings up the question, looking long-term, who would replace him as the next commissioner?
Very difficult to know who would replace him. Now, internally, there are certain people internally. For example, a guy like Mark Rudner internally would be an excellent commissioner. Internally. If they decide to go that route. I mean, you're the CEO of a multi-mega-million-dollar corporation if you're the Big Ten commissioner. Now, has he hinted at this before? Yeah, there have been hints that this was his last contract that he was going to negotiate, but I think it's the first time he's outright said it at a press conference. He brought up the Rose Bowl and the college football playoff. And the most important part of that is the Rose Bowl's not moving from 5 o'clock on New Year's Day or this year, January 2nd. But there is talk as to how to handle the college football playoff. He didn't say how, but so, as you can tell in the press conference, he made a fair amount of news
Next half hour, Corey Geiger on the show. Final half hour, Neil Kulong to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their training camp coming up. It's like the Eagles camp. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf. Second hour of the show coming up on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.